You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
I was laid off by getting asked to attend an unscheduled Zoom call. Once I had dialed in, I could not see any of the other participants aside from a woman who I believed was in HR. I had only been in maybe one other meeting where I had seen her. We were asked to wait for other people to join, which took about 10 to 15 minutes, which was unusual because usually in meetings, we just get started as a company. Once I realized I was being laid off, I honestly stopped listening to what she was saying. My name is Cynthia. I am a front-end developer. I was laid off in April of 2022 after working for my company for 15 years.
Layoffs, one of the most dreaded words in corporate America. It happens across all industries and at every step of the corporate ladder. And unless you're living under a rock, you're aware that corporate America is going through a wave of massive personnel reductions.
Companies like Amazon,
Shopify,
Netflix, Tesla, Redfin, JP Morgan, Noom,
Peloton, Reef, Wells Fargo, Patreon,
Warner Brothers Discovery, Wayfair, Snap, Remax, Compass,
Vimeo, Rivian, Carvana, Ford have all announced layoffs.
It definitely was a surprise when I got let go.
Today's episode is all about the very difficult process of layoffs.
We're going to talk about how to look for signs that your company is going to announce layoffs, and also how to look for signs that you yourself are going to be let go.
I already had a bad feeling about it. Something just told me something was off.
There are always subtle and not so subtle hints, no matter where you stand on the corporate ladder.
We're going to chat about how you can be better prepared for a potential layoff, and we'll be sharing stories from listeners who have gone through a layoff themselves.
You know, it was like, hey, sorry, we just don't love you anymore.
It's part one of a two-part episode.
Stay tuned to learn how to better navigate layoffs.
This is Surfing Corporate.
I'm Aileen Merciel.
And I'm Glenda Pakenins. When the scent of layoff season begins to permeate the air, anxiety levels spike, tensions surface, and it goes without saying that it's hard for anyone to concentrate on their actual work. And that's because either you're the one consoling a coworker that might have just gotten booted, or you're the one that's picking up the additional work, or maybe because you're terrified of being next on the hit list. Layoffs take a huge emotional toll, and they can affect everybody on the corporate ladder.
Research says that being laid off is one of the most traumatizing professional experiences that you can go through. And since it's happening all around the globe right now, today we're tackling this topic head on.
But before we go any further, let's preface this conversation by saying that layoffs are inevitable. At one point or another, if you work in a corporate environment, you will be affected by one in some way, shape, or form. It's not like companies are evil by executing layoffs. Not necessarily, anyway. Some might be, but we're not saying they all are. Layoffs can happen for a number of reasons. It could be because of a change to the company structure, or for a need to improve the financials, or because the overarching strategies of the business have changed. Having said that, though, corporations are responsible for the way they handle and treat their employees during the layoff process.
Okay, let's take a quick listen to some of the stories people sent to us.
The way that I felt when they told me that I was getting laid off.
Just complete shock.
And to be honest, I was just annoyed by the endless speech of the guy that was laying me off.
Because it was December, the entire building was totally decked out in holiday decor. There were big giant red bows and Christmas trees and Christmas lights. And we had a town hall in December where all the executives spoke about the positive future and forecasting for the company and where we were headed into the new year. And so I had gone to the town hall and I had grabbed a couple of free snacks. And I think I was halfway through eating a reindeer cookie when my boss's executive assistant came over to get me to go to a meeting. Now, this meeting was preset. It was on my calendar. And I already had a bad feeling about it earlier that week. Something just told me something was off. My fears were 100% confirmed as we were walking in the direction of HR instead of towards my boss's office. So I asked the executive assistant, hey, where are we going? And she described that we were going to the other side of the building, which is where HR was located. And I asked her, okay, well, why are we going to HR? And she just kind of smiled at me. She wasn't really giving me any information. It was kind of bizarre. But I made the decision as we were walking over there that if I was getting laid off, they were not going to see an ounce of emotion on my face. I was just going to be completely stone cold and non-reactive. And that's exactly what happened.
Okay. I love the level of detail of the story. I can see the whole picture of her like eating the cookie, that slow walk through the corridor. And I just love how she framed it in her mind and was able to keep her cool. I'm not sure if I would have been able to do that.
I don't know that I would have done it either. I mean, I know that dealing with that bit of news, especially when it's so unexpected, can throw anybody for a loop. Just the fact that she was able to maintain her calm and composure was amazing. When a layoff is going to happen, when a considerable number of employees, and even if it's just a couple here and there, however big or however massive the layoff is, it should never come as a complete surprise to staff. No one's eager to share shitty, life-altering news ever. It's really hard to face people, especially your team. But blindsiding a team with that sort of news, I think that's even worse.
When I was SVP of marketing, I was tasked several times with, you know, I got the great news of, oh, by the way, by X date, you have to cut 15% of your team. Usually this message was delivered by the head of finance. Shout out to all my friends. It's not, you know, they're the ones that have to, you know, it's not their fault, but they usually are the bearers of the bad news.
Yeah.
And as a person who has to execute on that, it's really, really hard. In all honesty, in the different jobs that I was in, this whole thing about sharing and letting people know was not the way that it was usually tackled. It was more that you wanted to keep it secret, not necessarily to not be transparent or to withhold in a shitty way with the employees. It was just, the idea was to not generate panic.
Right.
Allegedly, a very tight group of people knew, which is bullshit because somehow these things always got out.
Yeah.
But the goal was to, when it was announced, to do it quickly and not have that lingering sensation that something horrible was going to happen. So I don't know. I don't know what's worse. A lot of experts say that people should know that these things are coming. But at the same time, like, is it better to know that in a month, I don't know, 20% is going to be cut and like, surprise, like it might be you, it might not. I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, it is hard, honestly. And reflecting on the topic and reflecting on your own work experience, you know, you just shared what it was like for you when you were the one having to execute the layoffs yourself as head of the team. You know, for me, having worked in corporate for 20 plus years, trust me, I've been through my fair share of layoff experiences as well. And from both sides of the table. So I was, once upon a time, I was laid off. As I got further up the corporate ladder and, you know, climbed myself, I was having to be the one having to lay off staff myself. So both of those conversations are rough. Being on either side of that table is rough, obviously for very different reasons. And when it was me being the one that laid off, honestly, I can't say I was blindsided by it. So back to your point about should you know, should you not know, you kind of have a feeling, and we're going to get into it as part of the episode. And that's, I think, part of the important thing as you think through what's happening now across industries, across companies, across markets, even. You know that layoffs are happening. How do you prepare?
Absolutely, because you don't want to be the person who thinks that you're walking into a meeting to get a promotion and then get laid off. That happens. We part of the audios that we received, a couple of people absolutely were, you know, about to pop the champagne, thinking they were getting this amazing promotion, and no, that wasn't the case.
When I got a call from the VP, I thought maybe he was calling to congratulate me or for a promotion that I've been, you know, I thought I was about to get some exciting news. So I started calling the other managers that I work with me when they told me about an 11 o'clock meeting that I was not invited to. And it turned out that that 11 o'clock meeting was to say that they were laying off a ton of people. And if you were not in that meeting, that you were laid off.
Man, that's brutal. That's horrible. So to ensure that this does not happen to you, let's talk about how to see the signs. If you're in a company that maybe isn't addressing it, there are always things that you could pick up on. So fortunately, we found a great article by Monster. They talk about the subtle and the not so subtle hints that you can pick up on. So this isn't a complete surprise to you. So let's start with the subtle hints that layoffs are coming. One of the things that you can look out for is assignments that you'd usually get are suddenly going to somebody else. So if you're passed over for projects like over and over again, ding, 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 alarm, that's a red flag.
I'm in danger.
And you can maybe be proactive and ask your manager what future projects you can look forward to taking on. And if the answer is vague, you are probably about to be terminated, like Sarah Connor. Another indicator that your days may be counted at your current job is when your boss or certain colleagues start treating you slightly differently. Let's hear the story from one of our listeners.
I already knew that was going to happen, you know, because some people changed their behavior towards me. Some of them were usually really nice, but suddenly they changed. Some of them didn't even say hello, you know, as if I was sick with a contagious disease or, you know, like Ebola or something. Like, behold, here comes the plague. If you look at her, you will become stone. Well, I might be exaggerating a little bit, you know, but I thought, something's wrong here. I didn't have to be Einstein to know what was going on.
I love her, and I think you should work for Surfing Corporate, whoever you are. This person didn't leave their name, but they did say that they were a creative director. Call us. I love the story. And I think that makes total sense, because if you're a boss or, I don't know, you're a colleague that happens to know that this person is going to be laid off, it's very natural to want to avoid them because, you know, unless you're a stone-hearted, poker-faced sociopath, I think people could see through you. Like, well, can they tell by looking at me? So avoidance is probably a natural course of action.
Another sign that you can look at, another hint that you could look for in the horizon is if non-essential budgets are being reduced or are being cut altogether. So are there perks that are suddenly starting to disappear? Are there trips that you used to be able to go to a conference or a trade fair or to visit clients? Those are starting to cut back. Anything that was par for the course when you would do normal business operations, if financials start to be cut back, that might be a sign that your company is pulling back on spending, pulling back on non-necessary expenses, and that may eventually translate into personnel.
When they suggest doing Uber carpool because of the environment, red flag.
Have they done that? Oh my God, have they done that?
Oh, I'm sure. So beware of those tiny, tiny signs. Number three is when you start to pick up that new products and innovation in general is being postponed. So anything not essential to the company's core business is suddenly kind of like tucked under the rug. Like, this doesn't sound good.
Yeah, and those are things that are happening. And unfortunately, it is part of probably, you know, the larger economic forces that are at play right now with, you know, all the talk about the potential recession. Those are things that are happening, and it could spell maybe some possible reductions in staff or not, but just start to pick up on it. And then when you see those subtle hints combined with the not so subtle hints that we're about to get into, you can put the pieces together and realize that potential layoffs might be coming to your company. The first very straightforward, in-your-face hint that there's an issue happening is budget cuts. Of course, Eileen, you know, as head of marketing for many different companies, you know that marketing budgets are usually the first to be slashed, unfortunately.
Always.
You and I have been through a part of that, but it happens across obviously different kinds of organizations as well. The bigger budgets or the budgets that maybe the operators think are not as essential, those are the first ones that are usually going to get hit.
Yeah, that's why I've been part of so many of these, because it's always, where can we cut? Oh, clearly marketing. Who gives a shit?
I know. It's terrible.
The second aspect that is a not so subtle hint is when the company says that there is a hiring freeze. That is right there. It's like, oh, you know, when Elsa shows up to freeze the hell out of a hiring process, the growth of the company is being put on hold.
Yeah. Hiring freezes. I hate that phrase. Oh, there's a hiring freeze, especially when you were really down far, you know, interviewing a candidate or at least hoping that you're going to be able to bring somebody in. That's not a good sign. The third not so subtle hint is when your boss, or even worse, when HR is asking you a ton of questions about what it is exactly that you do, when you're being asked to write a job description for your position, when you're being asked, well, tell me exactly, take me through your day to day. That's not necessarily a good thing. It could be a sign that they're looking to do a restructuring in your organization, in your team, or just within you.
Exactly. Or just within you. I love that. It's like, we're going to let you go, but do homework for us before we let you go. Thanks.
Yeah, and it sucks because what do you do in that position? You know, you have to do it. You know, like if you're starting to see the writing on the wall, what are you going to say? No, I'm not going to tell you what my day to day is. No, you got to do it. And you're doing it knowing full well that it might mean that your position might be going to somebody else, might be downsized, might be changing. I mean, again, these are signs. We're not saying necessarily this is exactly what's going to happen, but it's pretty evident that if you're seeing a lot of these little flags coming up, that change is coming.
And, you know, maybe that is an opportunity. If you're being asked to do your own job description, maybe you can ask the question. It's like, does this mean that blah, blah, blah? Does this mean that you're thinking of laying me off? And just look at what what the answer is. If it's like,
what? Me?
What? No. You can try again, but like as Glenda says, one thing alone maybe doesn't mean something specific, but if you're adding several of these things that we're talking about, then maybe you want to be on alert. And another thing to look out for is when a consultant is hired. Danger. Consultants are never hired when things are going smoothly. And I can say that because I've been hired as a consultant.
I was just going to say, okay, hold on a second. I know consultants often get a bad rap. I work as a consultant. I'm working on a consulting project right now. And that doesn't mean that things are terrible necessarily. But when you add one plus one plus one plus one, I think that's when you start to see the difference. Let's just say not all consultants are terrible.
No, it just, but you know, if a consultant is being brought on, it's definitely to rethink things. And that can mean different things, but in some occasions that can be, they're rethinking you.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. I mean, and as we're talking through all of this, you know, the red flags and the yellow lights, the things to look out for, you know, it is scary. It could be very daunting. But what you really want to think about is, okay, I'm seeing some of these warning signs. I'm seeing some of these things happening within my organization. What the hell do I do? How do I prepare for a potential layoff? Well, here comes Surfing Corporate to give you some tips because, of course, we don't want to just scare the crap out of you. We also want to give you some tools. We also want to give you some things that you can think through. And because we are Surfing Corporate and we love our statistics, we just wanted to throw some numbers out there. We found an article from CNBC just from August 2022 reporting that 50% of firms are anticipating a reduction in overall headcount, while 52% foresee instituting a hiring freeze and 44% are rescinding job offers. That's according to a PwC survey of 722 U.S. executives fielded in early August. That is daunting.
That is pretty scary. The rescinding job offers, that just sounds so brutal.
I know a little bit about that.
Happens to the best of us, but it's just so shitty, right? It's like, what? Yeah, it sounds scary, but some of these things are out of your control. Many of them are out of your control. So the important thing is not to, you know, go in a downward spiral. Like, you can definitely do that, but just for a brief time. Then it's time to think about how you can face this. So that same CNBC article offers some great advice about this. Number one, take stock of your personal professional economy. So what does that mean? Mandy Woodruff Santos is a career and money coach, recommends thinking about your personal professional economy. For example, what do employment and job openings look like for your industry specifically? What are you seeing across the industry, across the network of people that you know within the industry? Are there clear signs from people around you? Because if you just listen to the overall headlines, like, maybe that doesn't apply to you at all. So look inside your industry, inside your field, and see if that's even an issue for you. It's like not going to panic mode. It's like, wait, take a step back.
Exactly. Not going to panic mode. And I think also, don't just think about, oh my God, we're going into recession, I'm completely fucked. Okay, maybe you might be, but don't think about it that way. You know what I mean? Think about it first, how you can position yourself given your own unique situation. The second thing that the CNBC article recommends is a very important one, very straightforward and kind of like very common sense. It's take stock of your finances. You know, your parents were right when they said, always have a saving emergency fund. Yeah, getting laid off is sort of the epitome, is like the classic, you know, situation where you would need to have ideally a little bit of backup funds, emergency funds. If you have the luxury of having that, you are in a much better situation. If you don't, then how do you prepare yourself better? Do you have a 401k that you can lean in on? Obviously, there's pros and cons to being able to tap into your 401k and having to go into an emergency fund, but that's what that money's there for. If you're married and you have a partner, or even if you're not married, but you have a partner, somebody that can sit down with you and you have those very real conversations about, okay, let's look at our financial outlook. Let's look at our credit card debt. Let's look at our insurance. And you really have to be very eyes wide open about the reality of what you might have to deal with. The more clear you have of a financial picture of what your household finances are, those absolute obligations that you can't get rid of, mortgage payments, insurance payments, those kinds of things. And then the more luxury items, the more discretionary items, eating out, all those things. The clearer picture you have of that, it's going to be easier for you to have an understanding of what your day-to-day budget is going to be if you do get laid off.
Yeah, you may want to cut back on those pumpkin spice lattes or those concert tickets or that meth addiction.
Oh my God.
You should cut back on that regardless.
Yeah, I think that would be a good one.
Stop the meth. So this leads us to the third point, which is boost your resilience and personal branding in the face of a potential layoff. Many people focus on, you know, dusting off a resume during times of a career transition, but that's not necessarily the key to finding another job, especially, as you said before, for, you know, people that are more advanced in their career. There are different paths you can take. It's not necessarily staying within your industry. Maybe you need to pivot completely. Maybe you want to explore entrepreneurship. So at that time, personal branding and personal relationships and networks are more and more essential, are extremely essential. So keep this in mind while you're in the workplace, being a good colleague, being a good worker. So if you were a good colleague, you know, those people will remember you. They'll be able to recommend you to a different position. They can give you advice. So don't underestimate the value of connections and being a good coworker and a decent human being while you're at your current workplace.
1,000% right. And I think that that's an important point, because when you think about resilience, you usually think about it in the sense of like your own personal resilience, right? Like, what can I do to take care of myself as I'm seeing the warning signs. I'm preparing myself. I'm looking at the writing on the wall. How do I, you know, make sure you get enough rest, make sure you sleep, make sure you're not overly stressed out. Like, those are the things that help you be resilient yourself. But this concept of professional resiliency is interesting because you're right. When you're looking at it from the perspective of what am I going to leave here with? You leave with the reputation you've built. You leave with the connections that you've had, with the professional relationships and the network that you've been able to cultivate through the number of years you've been at that organization. And those things are, is those things in particular, no one can take away from you. No one. I had this conversation with somebody very dear and very dear to me not too long ago, who suffered a very devastating sort of layoff. And that's the first piece of advice that I was giving them. It's like, you know what? Yes, it's a shit situation to be in, but you're walking out of it with your head held high because you've built an incredible professional reputation for yourself. You are well respected, you are well liked, and you have a slew of connections that you can count on once you're ready to start having those conversations about, hey, what's my next step? So I do think it's important, no matter what stage of your career you're in, and even when it's not layoff season, for you to always have that in the back of your mind. How do I continue to cultivate relationships? Because at the end of the day, it's what's going to help you create new projects, new opportunities, potentially new jobs. And you know me, and we talked about this on our LinkedIn episode. I am all about celebrating people and being able to hopefully, ideally help people up. But also, you want to be able to have that when you need it yourself, right? So just like you want to celebrate people, you also want to be celebrated and acknowledged when you need it. So having a really thorough, really deep, robust network of people to count on, I think is really, really important.
Agree 100%. And in the book Workquake, which I'm a huge fan of that book, and that was written by the former head of human resources of LinkedIn, the moment of work that we're living is clearly something that is very different than anything that we've lived before. Everything is shifting at such a quick pace. Industries are changing radically. Our industry, the media industry, has completely changed. Tech, everything is up for grabs. Nothing is set in stone. So at this point, the more connections you have, connections to me are even more important than the quote unquote hard skills, because your industry may not exist. And it's those connections and adaptability and flexibility and being collaborative what are going to help you if you have to do a major pivot or change industries or do something completely different. So connections, people. Say yes to that LinkedIn request.
I was going to say, be open to LinkedIn, be open to listening to all sorts of invites, go to all sorts of, even if it's not within your industry necessarily, if it's something that sort of remotely interests you, go to that seminar, go to that cocktail, that conference, whatever. You know, the more people you know in the widest possible variety of industries and companies, the more fulfilling that network can be for you. And as people who've been in this business for a long time, as people who have a lot of corporate experience, you know, you can share your experiences with somebody. You might be able to share a piece of advice that you didn't think was that revolutionary, but it might be just what that person needed to hear at the precise moment they needed to hear it. So the more we talk openly about layoffs, what they mean for people, how companies handle them, how employees, both who were let go and the ones who stayed behind, have to deal with it. I think the more we can all learn and the better we'll all be moving forward, because as we said, layoffs are a part of corporate life. They happen and they will continue to happen. The more discussions we have about it and the more open we are with how we deal with it, I think the better off we'll all be.
And usually it's a topic that people don't talk about. It's very, very hush hush. You don't want to ask the person that's been laid off. That person usually doesn't want to share what went down. And I think addressing these things is very, very important, because what happens to one person can help another. and what they went through, if it was good or not good, can also help other people. It's a learning process for everyone. If you're an employee or if you're a supervisor, what not to do? What made people feel really shitty? So opening this door and really exposing, not in a bad way, but how things go down, I think is also extremely, extremely important. Let's listen to another one of the stories that our listeners sent.
The way that it happened was the following. I had to move to another building. Also, I only had like one day to move to the new building and only a few specific hours to do so. So I took the day off, and early in the morning, I got an email for a mandatory meeting. I was like, damn it, can you guys leave me alone? It's moving day. I can't believe this. So I complained to a friend, and she was like, well, they are laying off people, so you might want to pick that up. My mind was, you know, somewhere else because I was in the middle of a freaking move. So eventually I got the call. My Microsoft Teams didn't work anymore, so I had to be over the phone, so it wasn't even like a face-to-face conversation. So the SVP called me. He was talking almost like a Siri, you know, like very robotic. I hang up, shook it off, called my partner, and I was like, hey, babe, don't freak out, but I have some news. And she was like, well, but you hate your job, so these are great news, right? And I was like, huh, I think it is. So I finished the move in the nick of time and then basically got wasted drunk that night.
Well, that's one way to face the emotional toll of a layoff.
And that's what we're going to get into in part two of this episode, because there's a lot to unpack and there's a lot of different layers and components to it. So yes, preparing as much as you can help you withstand the moment if it's you that happens to be impacted. It's never going to be easy, but at least you're somewhat prepared. However, there's still a shitload that you have to deal with if you are impacted, whether you're the one that was let go or whether you're the one that stays behind or whether you're the one that has to deal with motivating the team that stays behind.
Or picking up all the additional work.
There you go. Exactly. For zero pay. For zero additional pay.
It's a stretch opportunity.
I'm sure you've heard that one before.
You're going to grow with this. So that's what we're going to talk about next time. The emotional toll that a layoff can take.
It definitely was a surprise when I got let go. I felt like the company had let me down in many ways because after having been there for 8 years and putting in so much effort and doing well in my position, that all of a sudden it was like, hey, sorry, gotta go.
We'll talk about the aftermath a layoff leaves behind and what are the next steps you can take to spin this challenging process into something positive.
I was concerned, of course, and kind of lost because I was in a foreign country. I felt a lot of uncertainty at that moment, but that didn't stop me to go on, you know, to develop some other projects that I had in mind.
That's next time on Surfing Corporate. Surfing Corporate was produced and edited by me, Aileen Merciel, and improved by the awesome feedback of Glenda Pakkanens. A huge thanks to all the people who sent us their layoff stories. Check out the episode notes for sources where you can read more about this topic. You'll also find a link to a quick survey about our show. Fill it out, and you might win an epic Surfing Corporate swag bag. Don't forget to sign up for our newsletter at surfingcorporate.com/subscribe. And you'll also get a free guide about the 11 things you should never do if you want to climb the corporate ladder. Follow us on Instagram and LinkedIn. Thank you so much for listening. See you next time. Hang in there.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Our show features our team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. And they'll help you make the most of your money while cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. You'll get clarity on strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.